Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Christian and Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're also going to be the views of James Perloff, who I've known for, 15 years or more. And James has been writing about what's going on for the better part of 30 years. Back in the mid-1980s, he wrote a book on the shadows of power, about those forces working behind the scenes who really control America, who indeed control the world. Now, it's very difficult, of course, when the media is controlled by these people and the educational system, and certainly the churches don't ever speak out to tell people the truth. People really don't understand the structure of the group that rules the world, but James has written about it in the past. I've interviewed him in intervening years on his couple of books he's written on evolution, and basically, of course, this is their effort to destroy a belief in God, because, of course, this is an anti-Christian group. These people have an intense hatred of Christianity, and they've sold us on this idea, of course, of Darwinism, and it's all a lie. I mean, all you have to do is simply look at the stars. Do you really think those just happened by accident? Where did life come from? They don't know. Well, came from outer space. It came from ET. It came from UFOs, you know, but where did the life come from outer space? They have no idea. It's all a lie, ladies and gentlemen. Reality is usually scoffed at, and illusion is usually king. James, thank you very much for being with us again tonight.
Well, the thanks is all owed to you, Dr. Stan, for having me on three times in the course of a week. Thank you very much.
Well, we want to get you on all of our various programs so people will know how to get your book. And his book is available on Kindle. But I'm going to let you go ahead and tell this story, James. You've certainly updated your book and added a lot of new information. Tell our listeners about your new book and what they'll learn if they get it.
Sure. People have asked me for years if I'll update The Shadows of Power, which I give PowerPoint talks on. This is not specifically an update of The Shadows of Power. It's much broader. It's called Truth is a Lonely Warrior. And, Stan, I've used this analogy before, but when you talk about just one aspect of this whole satanic conspiracy, like you think about 9-1-1 alone, people say, well, why would our government do that? Or you talk about Pearl Harbor or things like chemtrails. People say, well, why would the government do that? They have to have some context. They need the context of who's really running the government. They need the context of other false flags, beginning with the sinking of the Maine, the Lusitania, foreknowledge of Pearl Harbor. And they need the context of who controls the media so they know why they've never heard this stuff before. You know, and it's like the analogy I was talking about is like a jigsaw puzzle. If you take one piece of a jigsaw puzzle, it doesn't have much meaning. But when you see it in the context of the whole puzzle, it does have meaning. You see, it is part of a complete picture.
Well, I think that, James, I think one of the big problems is that a lot of people love America. They love certainly this idea of a society where people can be free. And I love that as well. But the difficulty is we have a legitimate government based upon the Constitution, and then we have an invisible government made up of a power elite that doesn't believe in that. And they are today in positions of power, and they're using their power to destroy Christianity, to destroy freedom, but mostly to use the financial and military power of the United States bring such a tyranny to other countries? Why do you think we've toppled the government there in Egypt and Tunisia and Libya? Why are we financing the rebels over there? And believe me, we are financing them. They're not going to tell the American people. We're financing those rebels who've already killed well over 80,000 innocent civilians, and millions are living in concentration camps, or 1.5 million have fled the country. Why would we be doing that? Well, we are not. But this group of evil people are doing it, and I really believe it's because they worship a different god. And once you understand that, so much of what's going on today makes sense. Our guest, James Perloff, his book, Truth is a Lonely Warrior.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulating coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
You may have heard about the 90 essential nutrients or the Mighty 90 needed for good health. But with all the products out there, what exactly are they talking about? The Mighty 90 is 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 60 plant-derived minerals, and 2 essential fatty acids. So, now you know. But with all the products you see and hear advertised, what exactly do you buy to come up with the Mighty 90 and the right ratios to promote good health? Youngevity has made it easy with the Healthy Start Pack, which contains one canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Vitamin and Plant-Derived Mineral Complex, one bottle of Bone and Joint Enriching OsteoFX Plus, and one bottle of EFA Plus Essential Fatty Acids, all in the proper ratios to promote good health and vitality. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Disaster can strike at any time. That's why Americans spend billions on insurance policies. But what about investing into disaster preparedness supplies, especially food? After Hurricane Sandy, people waited weeks for help to arrive. Be prepared for anything with Mountain House freeze-dried foods, the finest in the industry, packed in heavy-duty double-enameled number 10 cans with over 99% of the oxygen removed for the longest shelf life of any product available. And the taste, absolutely delicious. Entrees, meats, vegetables, fruits, and desserts made in the USA. Just add hot water, wait 10 minutes, and serve. Save 25% on Mountain House No. 10 cans, April 2nd through the 8th, with free shipping to the lower 48 states. Visit freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. 866-404-3663. Get 25% off April 2nd through the 8th. Act today. Don't miss out.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and basically James Gibson's book really gives a great overview of what's going on. Chapter 1 deals with the wars. All of the wars have been contrived going back to the Spanish-American War. What were we doing fighting in World War I? While during World War II, did American corporations and banks finance the Nazis? Why was certainly Pat Prescott Bush indicted in 1992 for helping the Nazis, and why was he never punished for funding the Nazis? And of course, he did it, certainly he and his bank, and a man named George Herbert Walker, a co-director of the Brown Brothers Harriman Bank, helped the Nazis all during World War II, but we can't let the American people know that. Chapter 2, of course, it goes with the powers that be that run America, the Council on Foreign Relations. Chapter 3, with the Federal Reserve System, a privately owned central bank that dominates America. And then, of course, Chapter 4 gets into the satanic forces that control the world. Chapter 5 certainly gets into the Vietnam War. What were we doing over there in Vietnam? I was personally told by Ambassador Sonny Sullivan and by a four-star Marine General, Lew Wald, we could have won the war in 6 weeks. They didn't want to win the war any more than they want to win the war over there in Afghanistan. It's all a fraud. We were in Afghanistan. We were in Vietnam about 13 years from about the early 1960s up until 1973. With a war that was a great diversion, and he covers that in certainly in Chapter 5. Of course, Chapter 6 is on NAFTA and how this is to be a North American Union. This is the European Union, is to be the European Union, and then you're going to unite the African Union and the Asian Unions and the Pacific Rim, Unions. Everything is about world government. Then Chapter 7 is media control. He gets on into Chapter 8, immigration. And so they gets on then into the satanic control of what's going on today. That's Chapter 10. Go right ahead, James.
All right. You've given a pretty good summary, and I know that you're familiar with these things yourself, Dr. Stan. Well, we were reviewing the chapters in my new book, Truth is a Lonely Warrior. Chapter 11 deals with Freemasonry, and of course we acknowledge that, you know, 98% of Freemasons in America are not involved in anything sinister. However, some of those at the top that have been what we call illuminated are aware that the god of Freemasonry is Lucifer. We talk about the historic connection between Freemasonry and revolution, particularly Grand Orient Masonry on the European continent. Chapter 12 is about environmentalism and how environmental pretexts are used to control our lives and regulate us. Chapter 13 is about Zionism, which many Christians think is a wonderful thing, that it's about the recreation of biblical Israel. We take a different tack. We see that the same people, the Rothschilds, who funded world government, League of Nations, and communism also funded Zionism, but not for a godly purpose. We're talking about seizure of Jerusalem, where the Antichrist plans to rule from his false throne, as predicted by the Apostle Paul, the Prophet Daniel, and by Jesus.
James, don't you really think that even though that there were evil people involved in the creation of the Jewish state, and there really is an element of the so-called labor Zionists who really are evil and satanic people, and they're dominating Israel today, don't you think God has a hand in the fact that the Jews are back in Israel today?
Well, you know, I talk about that, Dr. Stan. It's a controversial topic, to be sure, but there is certainly some evidence that back in the, I don't know if you ever read Arthur Koestler's book called The 13th Tribe, that the people that were once identified as Gog and Magog in the 7th to 8th century, this is even in Wikipedia, the state of Khazaria, which were also the people of Gog and Magog, converted to Judaism as a state religion. They didn't want to compromise with either the Christians or with Islam, and they decided to be a competitive third force that would convert to Judaism. And according to historical and genetic records, there's a lot of evidence that suggests that a lot of European Jewry, which wound up in Israel, is actually the Khazarian descendants rather than a direct descendant of Abraham. So I'm not quite sure that God was bringing Abraham's descendants back, but there are arguments on both sides. We do look at both sides in this book.
Okay. But, you and I would probably disagree on that.
Sure.
Certainly my genetic evidence suggests that most of the people really do have the genes, but go right ahead.
Okay. But we also talk about things, for example, like the attack on the USS Liberty in 1967 by Israel, which was never investigated by Congress.
Well, of course, if it had been, why they would have tried the president for treason, because he actually ordered that ship to be sunk. He ordered the military not to send help. There were several efforts to send help to protect our boys. He wanted to kill them all so we would have an excuse to go to war with Egypt. That was Lyndon Baines Johnson with the help of Robert McNamara. And that story has been suppressed. In fact, I've talked to the people around the USS Liberty who were told they'd be sent to prison or worse if they ever revealed what happened. They lived in fear for 20, 30 years afterwards. And eventually, of course, they did come forward, and we have a wonderful 4-CD set of my interviews with the survivors of the USS Liberty. President Johnson wanted to kill them all, just like they certainly left those people and the World Trade Center to be killed as an excuse for going to war. USS Liberty was an excuse to go to war with Egypt. World Trade Center was an excuse to go to war with Afghanistan and Iraq and drive us then into a war with the Muslim world. But first of all, you had to convince the American people that the wicked Muslims had brought down the Twin Towers. But unfortunately, six of those people who died that day are alive and well over in the Middle Middle East. The government doesn't try to explain why. They just ignore it. But you can go up on the internet and they type in your search engine, six of the 19 hijackers. 9/11 hijackers alive in Middle East. You'll find that they're over there living comfortably. And if you can explain to me how those people could have died and come back to life, I'll believe anything you tell me. Go right ahead.
All right. Well, you actually accomplished the transition for me. You know, I didn't have time to adequately explain that question about Israel, but let's move on. The chapter following the one on Zionism is on 9/11 and all the holes, and you've covered one of them, which is the fact that many of the identified hijackers did turn up alive, and the true identity was never determined or made public of those missing hijackers. Chapter 15, we talk about purposes of the Iraq War. Chapter 16 is about the arts and how they're much more controlled and less spontaneous, just like our presidential nominees, and how even the Beatles were a setup. They were not just somebody who spontaneously arrived on the scene and took the world by storm, but the establishment was working hand in glove with them to create cultural change. Chapter 17 is about the war on faith, especially the ecumenical movement. You know, Dr. Stan, they want world government. They want to merge nations. They're merging multinational corporations. They also want religions merged together, because when the Antichrist rules, he wants to rule over a one world religion, and that is literally what is back of the ecumenical movement, which we document. The Rockefellers played a tremendous role in funding. Chapter 18 is about the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. Chapter 19 is about cyber tyranny, how we're spied on through the internet and modern devices. Chapter 20, I call the secret war on life. There is a program, I quote many of the world elites, Robert McNamara and so forth, wanting to reduce world population dramatically, and how vaccines have played a role in this. A lot of people know about abortion reducing the world's population, but I've tried to communicate, recording many doctors who stepped outside the box and said, yes, vaccines are harmful, responsible for autism, autoimmune diseases, and so forth. Chapter 21, we deal with another aspect of population control, which is weather control and chemtrails. Chapter 22, we talk about the arrival of the Antichrist and what we might expect. At chapter 23, we make recommendations. And in our appendices, we deal with things like free trade, how conservatives were tricked into supporting the free trade agenda, which destroyed our economy and our jobs and our manufacturing structure here in America. We talk about how foundations have funded the green movement, that it's not grassroots. We talk about Orwell's book, 1984, how it's come true, and a few other interesting appendices. And I'll end there. But again, what I've tried to do in this book is to give people a full picture of what's going on, because again, when you have just one piece of the jigsaw puzzle, it doesn't make sense. You want to see that whole jigsaw picture, and that's what I've tried to paint in my book, Truth is a Lonely Warrior.
Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question, comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-2295. And of course, as Sidney James mentions, the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. And basically, this is a document that is totally evil. In fact, I have a hard time of reading it through too much of it at a time. Basically, I do not believe it was written by some Jewish group, but it is the plan for everything that was going to be happening in the future. And basically, the whole idea was to blame it all on the Jews, so you would not recognize the satanic forces behind it. But you can pull down off the internet the protocols, read them, understand that they are accurate. They know exactly, these were written sometime in the, certainly the probably late 1800s, somewhere the 1895, somewhere in there maybe. But anyway, of course, they first made public about 1905, but certainly they were probably written before that. But they basically, everything that is taking place today was planned. It was planned very diabolically by evil and wicked forces. But because by putting the title of Protocols, the Learned Elders of Zion on there, most people don't want to talk about it for fear of being cited to be anti-Semitic. And I do not believe a small group of people, Jewish people, sat down and said, this is how we're going to take over the world. But somebody did, and I believe these people were energized by evil. Would you certainly agree or disagree with that, James?
Absolutely. I just want to clarify something, too, Dr. Stan. I'm a Jewish ancestry myself on my father's side. My ancestors were Russian Jews. I have their picture right in the book. And I make it very clear I am not in the least bit motivated by anti-Semitism. To make something credible, by the way, takes a bit of documentation, which I really can't supply in a radio show with a few sound bites. That's why I have the complete book. As far as the protocols of the Elders of Zion go, I would agree. You cannot establish exactly why they were made public and exactly who wrote them. But what I do find interesting is that they predict with such remarkable accuracy what has taken place in our world. You know, I've written two books on Darwinism, and I was stunned when I first looked at these. I finally looked at them and saw that they referred to the use of Darwinism to deceive the public. Now, the hoax explanation
I'm going to have to interrupt you, James. We're going to cover that. But basically, I should have suspected you were Jewish because you're so smart. And so many of my best guests, of course, are Jewish. And God has given them a special gift. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. The book, Truth is a Lonely Warrior, will tell you how to get it when we get back.
Hello, folks. This is Steve Day, the director of Home for Health Lifestyle Center. And over the past years, we have been blessed by witnessing folks plagued by chronic illnesses gain restoration and get back their health after coming through our live-in Christian health retreat. Today, sickness and disease is everywhere. Cancer, MS, diabetes, and chronic diseases plague us. But there is hope, and Home for Health can help. We're here to help you in your time of need, and we would encourage you to go to the Home for Health website, www.homeforhealth.net. That's www.homeforhealth.net. Or you can call us today at 888-642-9644. That's 888-642-9644. Call Home for Health today and start your healing journey now.
Home for Health, truly do what you said. Being free of diseases, real well. Home for Health.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging, Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now 1-866-405-4000. 405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Thank you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this evening, James Perloff. We're talking about his book, Truth is a Lonely Warrior. And James, before we go on, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get your website and how they can get your book. And it's available on Kindle. And most people don't even know what Kindle is. That's sort of a little frightening for those of us who are a little older. We don't know about Kindle or Kindle books and how it all works. So why don't you give us the background on it?
All right. Well, from the top, I don't have a website. When I had stage 4 cancer a while back, criminal activity took down my website. I haven't gotten it back up yet, but this new book, which is electronic in form and is a Kindle book, can serve as my website. And let me just explain that this time around, I didn't have the finances for a print run. And somebody said, well, why don't you make a Kindle book? Kindle is something, it's an electronic book. You buy it on Amazon, and you don't have to be a computer whiz. It only takes a couple of mouse clicks to download the free Kindle software onto your computer. So you've got a computer, all it takes is a couple of mouse clicks. It's like downloading the Adobe Reader or anything like that, and then you can read any Kindle book. But the name of the book is Truth is a Lonely Warrior. I did discover that there's many advantages to this book, this kind of a book, which is I've got hyperlinks in there. So when I talk about Pearl Harbor, you click on a hyperlink, you go right to a BBC documentary, which supports everything I'm saying. I talk about the Spanish-American War. You click on the hyperlink, you go right to my article in the New American online, which elaborates everything I'm saying. So there's some advantages here. By the way, Stan, when I get a chance, I hope to get this into hard copy. That's how it is right now, though, and I do encourage people to read it. If you're a person who believes in conspiracy, that there is a satanic conspiracy and a drive for world government, but you're having a hard time convincing these people, I've written this book especially for you. Something you can give it to someone that will concisely and comprehensively explain what's been going on for the last 200 years.
And let me just point out that certainly I'm not especially literate as far as computers are concerned, but my grandson and his wife were visiting me, and they actually had a Kindle pad. I think it cost about $85 or something like that. And, of course, you can get the Kindle just put on your regular computer software. But, of course, you can also get one of these little pads, and then you take it with you, and you can. It's very easy for me to read, even with an 84-year-old set of eyes. Why? Because you can read, and you can go forward or backward or up and down. It's amazing technology. We live in an amazing, amazing electronic time, ladies and gentlemen. And certainly, the Kindle is another means. One of these days, we're going to have to, and if we do not lose our electronic support, we're going to have to learn how to use all of these things to survive in this world that's coming down. Sometime, would you like to do a program on your stage 4 cancer, James, and how you got over it?
I don't think it. I think it's worth talking about for 4 minutes,
fine.
But not a whole program.
Then we won't worry about that. But it basically, sort of, how long has the book been out? What is sort of response?
It's only been out for about 3 weeks now. It's really brand new. It's getting a very good response so far. By the way, we're talking about amazing technology. If you're 84, I think that's a tribute to God's amazing technology and design that an 84-year-old can rule the airwaves of truth like you are, Dr. Stan. And I just want to thank you for what you're doing with this show.
Well, I feel it's a real privilege, and I feel I'm probably doing this because God wants me to do it, and I'll do it as long as He gives me the voice. But basically, our guest is James Perloff, and certainly you can go up certainly onto the Internet and type in Kindle. You can get the basically, how would people get the software so they could just use that on their computer? Would they get that from AOL or what?
Just type in Kindle and download, and you'll get it in and the book, you just go to Amazon.com and type it, look for My Name, James Perloff, or Truth is a Lonely Warrior, the title of the book. It's very easy.
All right, fine, ladies and gentlemen. We're living in a whole different world, but this is a book I'm looking forward to someday coming out in hardcover, but right now you can get it in Kindle, and basically it's, how many pages is it?
Well, it's, Kindle books don't have pages, Dr. Stan, but if this was a hardcover or softcover book, 6 by 9 inches, it would be about 310 pages long. It would be certainly about 50% longer than The Shadows of Power.
Okay, fine. What if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question on any of these subjects, but all of these are important subjects, ladies and gentlemen. Basically, they take us into wars in the past, and of course, you can't understand the upcoming war. We're going to be involved in a war in the Middle East. It's not a matter of if, but when we're going to be involved in that war. And I fear that this is going to be far different than the past wars, certainly. In the Spanish-American War, in World War I, World War II, we didn't see any devastation destruction of our cities when they destroyed Europe, certainly, just as they're destroying Damascus today and destroying Syria, and certainly they're killing tens of thousands of innocent civilians. But I fear that this coming war is going to, of course, have an impact on America because, of course, now with intercontinental ballistic missiles and the fact that certainly our enemies have access to this technology, we could see literally millions, if not hundreds, several hundred million Americans die before this is over, especially if we had an EMP attack. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, the coming war isn't going to be different than the past wars. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Give us a call, and we'd like to talk to James Herloff. Truth is a lonely warrior.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden, all heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Youngevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid, then is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is James Perloff, his book, Truth is a Lonely Warrior. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And James has certainly gone over a list of the books, but any one of those, I said we could do a whole program on the background of all the wars we've been involved in and how, of course, all during World War II, in my estimation, we actually helped to finance the Nazis. We helped the Nazi war criminals escape to America. Well over a thousand came here. Probably 10 to 30,000 got this taken to South America with the full help and support of the CIA. All the evidence is that Martin Bormann, Adolf Hitler, they all got down there. We carry the book on Adolf. The Grey Wolf, I interviewed the man who wrote the book, one of the authors, and so they helped Hitler get away. They helped him. They financed him. How do you think Adolf Hitler came to power in 1933? to a bankrupt nation with a crippled military. And 3 years later, he was able to invade the Rhineland. And 2 years after that, he could invade both Austria and the Sudetenland. I mean, do you think that that just happened by accident? Ask yourself, how did it happen? Adolf Hitler had some very powerful friends in America, both before and after the war. And the fact that you've never heard about his escape to South America, well, and the story of this gentleman I talked to had actually interviewed the people who had looked after Adolf prior to his death in about 1962, and knew him, took care of him, helped him. But you're never going to read about this in the controlled media in the United States, because your reality is created by those who control the media. Well, certainly our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And James has been on the front lines of this battle for a long time, trying to get the information out. And his book on the shadows of power certainly preceded my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. But basically, they basically both tell the same story. There is a small satanic group that controls both political parties and makes mockery of the political process. So, James, certainly, why don't you maybe just talk a little bit about this group and how these people have been able to certainly dominate America and keep the average American from really believing in this sort of thing and labeling anybody who talks about it, oh, well, he believes in a conspiracy. And when they say it in that manner, why people tend to certainly, oh, well, we know there's no such thing as conspiracies, and yet history is certainly tantamount, I mean, full of conspiracies. There's a conspiracy to kill Abraham Lincoln. There were about six people who were executed after the murder of Lincoln. There was a conspiracy to kill Julius Caesar, and basically, why, of course, et tu, Brute, that famous statement said by Caesar as he's dying, and he looks up and sees his friend Brutus is actually part of the conspiracy to kill him. Just as there was a conspiracy to kill Jack Kennedy, but we can't let the American people know that, or that suddenly Lee Harvey Oswald didn't kill him, that they had to get somebody to kill Lee Harvey Oswald, and then that man dies a very strange death shortly after he agrees to tell the Warren Commission what really happened. And basically, how do we know that he died of cancer? Well, they told us he died of cancer, and you're supposed to accept whatever you're told, just like you're supposed to accept whatever you were told about the recent Boston Marathon bombing. Well, Sidney James, as you certainly look and see what's happening today, what's your impression? What's the message you'd like to leave with our listeners out across America?
Well, if I had to leave someone with a message, I'd want to leave them with a message of hope. And, you know, it's true that the establishment people, the people in the multinational corporations and the banks, they have temporary wealth here on Earth, and they have control of the microphones. They run CNN and the New York Times. And you and I can't compete with them in terms of our power and ability to reach people on a broad scale. However, Stan, you and I have something that those guys don't have, and that's truth. And although it's unconscious, that's probably one reason why my book is called Truth is a Lonely Warrior. That is the tool we have that they don't have. And I think the truth is more powerful than money. We know that God is a God of truth. The Bible speaks about truth throughout it. Jesus Christ said he came to tell us the truth. The Ten Commandments command us to tell the truth. And so we know that God is on our side, and he's not on the side of these evil ones. And they're making life miserable right now. The Bible said there would be hard times in the end. We know in the end that God is going to wipe away every tear, and we look forward to that day when he will return and reign, and we'll live in his kingdom eternally. So I am a believer in Jesus Christ, and I just want to leave people, we're not done with the show yet, but that is, if we're ending the show right now, that's how I would end the show, Stan. I want to give people a message of hope, even though things look depressing at the moment. It's kind of like a baseball team that's down by a lot of runs, but they win in the end. We are going to win in the end, Stan.
And basically, of course, this is a spiritual battle, ladies and gentlemen. There really are supernatural forces out there. And it's so hard for people to understand that there really is a supernatural element to everything going on today. As you heard me say before, but it's true, we live in a material world, but there's a mystical world. We live in a subjective world, but there's a spiritual world. We live in a tangible world, but there's an intangible world. We live in a visible world, but there's an invisible world. And if you certainly are a Christian and you believe certainly in the miracles of the New Testament, how could anybody certainly have raised somebody from the dead or walk on water or order the storm to cease or certainly be killed and come back to life? It just doesn't happen. Or does it happen? Is there this supernatural element to history that most people really don't understand? And certainly as we see the unfolding of events, I think God is going to intervene here in America very, very soon, because there's no incidents in all history where a nation has turned against God, where God has not brought judgment on that nation. And yet our ministers are not telling us that. They're afraid to tell us. They're afraid to speak out because they're all 501c3, and they don't even need to be 501c3. We've got to have people who have the courage to tell the truth. And no matter what the implications, and if your church is a 501c3, change it to a 501c4 and let your minister tell the truth. And actually, the donations are still tax deductible, but most people don't know that. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And our next caller is one of my favorites. Hi, Ron. How are we doing?
I'm doing fine, Dr. Stan. It's great to hear Mr. Perloff. I've read several of his books, and he's an excellent writer. And I think Mr. Perloff, you're from the Boston area, is that correct?
That's correct. I'm from Boston. I'm talking from Boston right now, or a suburb of it.
Oh, boy. The People's Republic of Massachusetts.
That's right. We produced Michael Dukakis, Ted Kennedy. We're the only state that voted for George McGovern in 72. We have all kinds of honors to our credit.
Yes, but you finally won the World Series.
Yeah, it only took us 86 years.
Well, I remember. Nick, I think it was in your book, Tornado in a Junkyard, you devoted several pages to Mr. Yawkey. And
well, I was talking about, you know, that book was about creation evolution. I wanted to tell people about my background as an atheist. I wanted not to think that I was a creationist because I was brought up that way. I was started out as an atheist, and I became a Christian, became a believer, and I was disabused of my belief in the false teachings of evolution. And so I threw a few jokes in there and just wanted to let people, you know, be light and talked about the Red Sox and those kind of things to let people know that not just a straight-laced Puritan type.
Oh, yeah, that was – I really appreciated that, too. I kind of had some sympathies in that area. I really want to commend you for getting the truth out. A big lie, it takes big liars, constant repetition, and suppression of the truth. The truth gets out, then the big lie, you end up exposing a bunch of big liars. And I'm glad we got somebody doing that right now, and you and Dr. Stan. I appreciate what you guys, both of you guys, are doing.
Appreciate your words of encouragement, Ron.
Okay, will you take care?
God bless. Thanks so much. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. You got a question for James, but any one of the subjects we've talked about, certainly the background of the wars. I mean, does anybody ever ask, why did we go into World War I? Was America attacked? Were our interests involved? No, it was all emotion. They put in all these atrocity stories, you know. Basically, oh, these terrible Germans are cutting off the breasts of the Belgian women, and they're cutting off the hands of these helpless little boys. And then they had pictures of it, you know. It wasn't real pictures at all. They drew them, but the people actually believed what the media told them. And a lot of hundreds of thousands of American boys volunteered to go overseas to fight for in the war to end all wars, the war to make the world safer democracy. Boy, did they have those wonderful slogans. The war to end all wars, the war to make the world safer democracy. And it was all a lie. Basically, of course, it was simply to bring about the one world government. The League of Nations was to be the one world government. And when that failed, why, of course, then we had to have World War II. And when that failed, when the United Nations failed to bring about a world government, that's why World War III is coming. But basically, of course, if we can go to the scriptures, we see the description of these terrible wars that are coming that lie ahead. And basically, we're not going to prevent them. All we can do is get people prepared. And this is certainly not, hopefully, supporting this idea of going to war with the Muslim world, which is exactly what they're trying to get us to do today. James, why don't you pick up on those thoughts and certainly on these futile wars we fought and the coming war, which I feel will be just equally futile.
Well, you know, atrocity stories have always been used to get people riled up. You mentioned the false stories about atrocities committed in Belgium. It turned out that nobody in Belgium ever saw a German bayonet a German baby. That was planted in the press by British intelligence. But I wrote an article recently for the New American Magazine on the Spanish-American War. And, of course, the hidden purpose behind that war, well, there were a few, but one of them was that National City Bank was trying to get hold of Spain's sugar industry. It was the most lucrative sugar producer in the world at that time, Cuba, and the world's wealthiest colony. Spain had ruled it for almost 400 years. But all of a sudden, William Randolph Hearst and the Yellow Press started these ridiculous atrocity stories. They said that the Spanish were roasting Cuban priests and that they were feeding the Cubans to sharks and committing atrocities against women, which never happened. They said that they bayoneted people in a hospital. There was no hospital in the region they talked about. Most of these stories were made up in New York City by people who had never been to Cuba. And but that has happened again and again. You might remember the Gulf War of 91, that we're told stories about how the Iraqis were going into the Kuwaiti hospital and throwing babies out of incubators. And that story was made up by the daughter of our ambassador to Kuwait, who hadn't even been to Kuwait at the time, described. And so
the Kuwait ambassador to the United States, not our ambassador. It was their Kuwaiti ambassador. But go ahead. And basically, supposedly, then the Iraqi soldiers, after they'd thrown the babies out of the bassinets, they'd bayonet them. And basically, this girl was testifying before Congress, lying and lying. She was never prosecuted. Basically, the senators were lying, and said they people who heard her story, and she was just a tearful story, they honestly believed it. Ladies and gentlemen, basically, it was all a lie, just as so much of what you're hearing and seeing on television today is all a lie, other than the fact, of course, we never talk about the 80,000 or more people now, 90,000 people who've already been killed over there in Syria, largely with, of course, weapons supplied with your tax money, ladies and gentlemen. Your tax money through the CIA and their black operations were funding this terrible war that has slaughtered 80 to 90,000 innocent civilians. Go ahead.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the Arab Spring. You know, it's not a coincidence we see these Arab leaders, one after another, going Mubarak and then Gaddafi, and now they're after Assad in Syria. You know, I was interested when I started hearing CNN talk about Mubarak as a tyrant, because that happened overnight. You know, no one had talked about the man as a tyrant. It reminded me, because I wrote an article in New American on the overthrow of the Shah. When the Shah tried to nationalize the oil industry in Iran, and he was a very progressive leader. He had complete religious freedom that he allowed in Iran, and he was very pro-Western, a block to Soviet interest in the Middle East. He supplied Israel with oil, but Henry Kissinger and the elite decided to get rid of this man, and all of a sudden these atrocity stories were told about him, and demonstrators would paint their faces with Mercura chrome and say that the Shah's police had bloodied their faces. Well, you know, Ayatollah Khomeini killed more people in his first year in power than died during the Shah's reign of 38 years. But nobody talked about human rights then. And so when I saw these demonstrators in Egypt with their so-called bloodied faces saying Mubarak's police did this, and I said, this happened 30 years ago. This is the same script that CNN's pulled out. They're doing the same job on Mubarak that they did on the Shah. And there's obviously a plan underfoot to destabilize the Middle East. These guys who have ruled there are suddenly being removed one by one. And it can only lead to a shambles. And I tell you, Stan, as you and I know, revolutions do not just occur spontaneously. They are planned and they are financed. That goes right back to the French Revolution.
And ladies and gentlemen, it's very expensive to finance a revolution. Mm-hmm. And who do you think has the money to put up? Certainly Saudi Arabia, Qatar, but they're both certainly surrogates of the United States. And certainly we have our forces in both Jordan. We have special forces in both Jordan and in Turkey that are training and arming and financing these rebels that are killing people over there. And they said they're just destroying them, basically. How terrible it is, certainly, that the Assad's government fights back, and certainly civilians get killed, and it's in the middle of the war. There's no way out of some of these towns are under attack. But basically, why is that? Because we are financing al-Qaeda. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are financing al-Qaeda forces in Syria, while we're fighting al-Qaeda forces in in Afghanistan. Why are we fighting al-Qaeda in Afghanistan and funding it? And we funded it certainly in Syria. We funded in Egypt. We funded in Tunisia. We funded in certainly in Libya. And nobody ever asked those questions. They don't want you to think, ladies and gentlemen. You're supposed to believe what you're told. And if you don't, why, you probably think there's a conspiracy or some sort of nut out there. My number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Our guest is James Perloff. Again, his book is Truth is a Lonely Warrior. Truth is a Lonely Warrior. You can get it up on Amazon. I simply go to Amazon, type in Truth is a Lawyer, a Lonely Warrior, and or a Kindle, but you can get it up there, and that's a Kindle form. And I just hope and pray one of these days we'll be able to get in hard copy. But basically, writing books is an expensive proposition today. And believe me, this is not the sort of book that any of the mainline publishers will take. And because the mainline publishing industry as a whole is pretty well controlled. Would you agree with that?
Let's pick up on that. You know, Admiral Kimmel was our commander at Pearl Harbor. He was betrayed. Of course, he was not given the information that Washington had about the Japanese attack. Let's pick it up when the commercial break ends. Do I hear some bumper music?
Go right ahead. I'll tell you when.
Okay.
What about
Admiral Kimmel? Had a book to write. He was qualified to write about Pearl Harbor, but he had to go to a small publishing house in Connecticut, the Devon Adair Company. No major publisher would touch it, even though he was the commander at Pearl Harbor, because he was telling the truth. Same with Admiral Theobald, who was at Pearl Harbor. His book had to be published by Devon Adair because the big publishers would not touch the truth.
And the same thing is going on today, ladies and gentlemen. Basically, Admiral, I think, Lyon, who knows about Benghazi, wrote a book about it. And you're not going to read about this. I haven't even heard about the book, but he's written a book. And basically, it's published by an obscure publisher nobody's ever heard about. That's Admiral Lyons.
Hello, folks. This is Steve Day, the director of Home for Health Lifestyle Center. And over the past years, we have been blessed by witnessing folks plagued by chronic illnesses gain restoration and get back their health after coming through our live-in Christian health retreat. Today, sickness and disease is everywhere. Cancer, MS, diabetes, and chronic diseases plague us. But there is hope, and Home for Health can help. We're here to help you in your time of need, and we would encourage you to go to the Home for Health website, www.homeforhealth.net. That's www.homeforhealth.net. Or you can call us today at 888-642-9644. That's 888-642-9644. Call Home for Health today and start your healing journey now.
Home for Health, truly do what you said. Being free of diseases, real well. Home for Health.
There is a disturbing trend here in these United States that is progressing unnoticed and without constraint. From the Supreme Court to the smallest county seat, we have seen the judiciary make decisions which are more legislative than interpretive. Our founding fathers designed our three-part governmental system to have checks and balances upon each other. Each branch of the government has now taken upon itself power that was never intended for it to have. The judicial branch in particular needs reform. We must pass laws which bring a renewed sense of justice to our nation's court system. I urge you to go to judicialreformnow.com. That's judicialreformnow.com. There you can find out what you can do to stem the tide of judicial malpractice. judicialreformnow.com.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
This is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I need to remind our listeners out across America that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and I will tell you we're having some financial problems. I think a lot of the ministries are. I think a lot of people are having problems, but the purchases are down, donations are down. So if you're in a position to help, if you believe our message and you can help us, we'd love to hear from you, and whatever you could do. And if you're not in a position to help us financially, either donate or join the Radio Liberty family or advertise with us or whatever you want to get our products, why, we ask you to pray for Radio Liberty. If you agree with us, pray for our provision and protection, because this truly is a spiritual battle that's being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. But certainly, people, if you join the Radio Liberty family supporters, you get our four best tapes in the month, our CDs in the month, you get our monthly newsletter. And certainly, you may want to get the various products that we sell. We also sell things like health products. And basically, we're moving into very difficult times, and you want to have a good supply of these things on. I'm talking about 6 months supply, because we do not know what's going to happen. But I really believe there's going to be an EMP attack. Everything I'm getting from the sources we have in Washington suggests this is going to happen. Is it a matter of weeks, months, years? I don't know. But I will tell you that sooner or later, there's going to be either a solar or a nuclear attack on America. And I think God is going to allow this to happen simply to get America's attention. And remember what has been said. Within 6 to 12 months, as many as 9 out of 10 Americans could be dead. Within 6 to 12 months, up to 90% of Americans could be dead. If you want to get our 4-CD set on an EMP attack, you want to get our DVD on an EMP attack, you want to get the book we carry, it's entitled A Nation Forsaken by Michael Maloof, who is actually was a Defense Department employee for 30 years when he retired. He was a chief analyst reporting to the undersecretary. That is, of course, the 4-CD set, the threat of an EMP attack, the DVD, the threat of an EMP attack, the book, of Nation Forsaken, and, of course, we actually have the 2004 Congressional Commission Report. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Now, basically, of course, if you do not have either a Big Berkey or a Berkey Light right now, there's a real shortage of Big Berkey, so many people are buying them. But we do have the Berkey Light, or we can get to the Crown Berkey or the larger Berkeys, and you can take an order for the Big Berkey, but right now it's sold out. They got them in. They've been waiting for months. They got them in. They sold them out in 4 hours. But we can get to the Berkey Light, and you need to have extra Berkey filters on hand because you're going to need water. You can live without food, but you can't live without water. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to get the Berkey products, soap products, so many of the soap products actually have poison in them, like Trixan, and basically we carry the Miracle 2 soap products, which as far as we know have certainly we love them. We use them. I use the gel. My wife uses the soap on everything, and we bathe with that. And basically the Miracle 2 soap products, we actually carry other products. If you don't, if you are today, you need to have a loaded gun in your house, but you can't have one locally. We actually carry a special box. It's with a combination on it, so you can get that out in about 5 seconds, but you have to have the combination. And basically, that's perfectly legal. You do not have time to load a gun, but this is an excellent thing to keep on hand. And we have a lot of things that will help you begin to prepare for the difficult times that lie ahead. You certainly should have a supply of seeds that you get from seedcatalog.com. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. So please pray for America, but pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and our protection.
Oh, a land that's free. Let us all be grateful. For
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But certainly in the battle for the survival of a Christian civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And basically, I need to remind you the views expressed here is not necessarily those of the owners, staff, management, or sponsors of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, hopefully for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Richard Cottrell, who said he'd be with us in a couple of minutes. He had to prepare a little bit for the talk. But Richard is certainly an American. He lives over in Frankfurt, Germany. He's certainly very disillusioned with what's going on. He's a prolific writer. He's written a number of books on various subjects, and one of them, of course, is 100 Years of War. But tonight, I hope we'd be able to talk with him about a new book. And that, of course, book is entitled Gladio, or certainly a dagger in the heart of NATO. Richard, are you there? I guess he's not here yet. Hopefully, he'll be here before long. Richard?
Well, I didn't see you putting me out
there. Are you ready to go?
Hello?
Yes, okay. Yes, are you ready to go?
I'm ready to go.
All right, fine. Well, I just was introducing you. Certainly, you're a prolific writer and certainly has written a great deal about history. And basically, do you want to talk about your book on Gladio, certainly the dagger in the heart of Europe? NAFTA, I think it is. But go ahead. What should we talk about?
I think we should talk about Gladio.
All right, fine. Then you go right ahead, because I think most people never even heard of Operation Gladio. What was Operation Gladio, and why is it so vitally important? Why was it vitally important in the immediate post-war years, and why is it important today?
Well, Gladio really is a continuation of one of the oldest stories in history. You could actually go back to the Wooden Horse of Troy, and you can find the beginnings then. Primitive origins of what is known as false flag terrorism. In other words, something which is done apparently for one purpose but serves another altogether. And this is really the backbone of the entire Gladio story. So let me introduce what it did here in Europe, what this organization did, and where it came from. It came, in fact, from the Second World War, when various what were known as stay-behind units of sleeping soldiers were supposed to lie in wait, obviously in the first instance for the Germans, but when the German war was over, so to speak, those same organizations of sleeping soldiers were kept in being in order to resist potentially Soviet invaders. The system was, shall we say, legitimized eventually by the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, which took over the role. The word Gladio comes from the name of the secret army unit. They were secret armies. They were not known except to a very small number of people in each country where they were established. Now, Gladio was the name of the Italian unit. It's sort of like saying Mars Bar. It's a very good brand name. It's easily remembered, but it was the name only of the Italian organization. Gladio comes from the two-edged sword, rather appropriately, which gladiators carried to the arena. All countries in Europe, including those which are not normally considered to be NATO states, had one of these sleeping army organizations. So, for example, they were established in Switzerland, in Austria, and in Sweden, all considered neutral states, but this has always been a somewhat questionable status. And even, interestingly enough, in the Vatican.
Well, now, basically, they were here to oppose a Soviet invasion of Western Europe after the war. That's what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. But they were secret. They were established in secret. Certainly, most people have never even heard of Gladio, but certainly this
In Europe, they have.
Right, but here in America, they have. Of course, here in America, why? People hear very little of what's going on. But, of course, these were secret armies established in various countries in preparation to oppose the Soviet invasion. We're going to be back here in just a minute after a brief break right here, but I want you to hear what Richard has to say.
While the storm clouds gather, far across us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America. And beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above, from the mountains, through the prairie, through the ocean, white with hope.
Don't be late.
No.
Wipe with hope. God bless America. My home.
Right, Pop?
Right, son.
This is Dr. Stan, I guess it's Richard Cottrell, and we're talking about Operation Gladio. Now, most of you have never heard of this, but certainly in Europe it's known. And this was a Gladio having to do with Gladiator. And basically, of course, the whole idea was that at the end of the Second World War, why suddenly we had to be afraid of the communists who might invade the West. So these secret armies were established. Now, what was the relationship between these secret armies and the Nazis and the Italian fascists? Did they include some of the people from those organizations as well as certainly other people in the military?
Well, there was a sort of an interlude when the original mission, so to speak, remained that of hiding away, waiting for Russian soldiers with snow on their boots. But in 1959, the roles changed by a secret order from the NATO command headquarters. And this instructed the stay-behind army in each state to now be on the watch, on the lookout for communist submersives actually operating on the soil of the state concern. And not satisfied with that, the new route, if you like, took the role of specifically organizing violence, which was then blamed on organizations supposedly loyal to Moscow, which did not actually exist. The idea was that people were to be terrified by bombs, explosions, murders of various kinds of various people, to believe that there was a terrible peril in their midst in the shape of an insidious Soviet presence.
Now, basically, this was to frighten the people so they'd be willing to rally behind their governments. So they got I've got to be behind my government because they're going to protect me from those wicked communists committing all these atrocities. And yet, you're suggesting these were actually being committed by Gladio, certainly as false flag operations, to actually justify ever more government control. Would that be a fair estimate?
Well, it would be quite that. That's the agenda today. But then the idea was to drive electorates, voters,
into the arms of safe right-wing governments, which, as you said, could then protect them from this menace. But since the menace didn't actually exist, it had to be fabricated. It was synthetic violence. In other words, except in a very few isolated cases, and there were isolated cases, for example, the Baader-Meinhof gang in Germany, that there was no peril at all from the evil communist presence in the midst. The idea was you wanted governments which were safe and loyal, right-wing governments, did not question the authenticity of NATO or the whole Western creed, remain loyal to the United States of America and the happy band of allies who won the Second World War. And in order to achieve that, terrible atrocities like the blowing up of the railway station in Bologna in Italy, killing 83 people, were undertaken. This was blamed on communist sleepers, but in fact, as it was later discovered, this attack was organized by Italian secret services in connection with well-known right-wing neo-fascist organizations. And it is part of the stripe of the Gladio organization, especially here in Italy, but not confined solely to Italy, that in fact it worked with neo-fascist organizations, with criminals, the mafia in Italy, for example, but the mafia exists in every Western European state. And those bands came together in a sort of an evil, unholy alliance in order to serve the ends of Western might and justice.
All right, fine. So then basically what happened? Did this eventually change in its thrust?
Well, no, it didn't really, because first of all, the peril from communism or the sleeping communist presence within the country came to an end quite naturally when the Berlin Wall fell down in 1989. And thus came the end of the Cold War, and thus came the end of the Soviet peril. So the question really then was, what shall we do next? And the fear of the peril within Joe McCarthy in your own country managed to dramatize that and fan that kind of fear. Had to take on a new course. And now we have a new type of peril within, or several, in fact. And those are the perils which threaten the future of the capitalist system as we see it now. And therefore, you're beginning to find the same dramatization of individuals or organizations which might be enthralled to the idea of overturning the system. So now we're looking at anarchists, for example. This is a very popular tag which is now applied to people who want to bring the system down. And, of course, the Muslim presence in Western Europe, which is very large indeed. And we've had a recent case of this terrible, awful incident in London, absolutely horrific, in which an off-duty soldier was literally butchered in the street close to the Woolwich Army depot in South London. This was accurately blamed on a pair of Nigerian converts to the Muslim faith. But unfortunately, the story somewhat fell apart when it turned out that these two individuals had been well known not only to the police, but to MI5 and MI6, British secret intelligence organizations, for the best part of 10 years. And they'd even tried to recruit one of them actually as an agent. Now, this is a running story now of the theme of the Gladio B, if you like, as it operates in Europe. These are individuals who are often accused of perpetrating terrible or awful attacks. There's no question of that. Turn out, in some cases, to have had cases linked to the secret service organizations in each country.
And of course, the tragedy, I think it took something like 20 minutes or more for the police to arrive after they'd butchered the soldier. I mean, what sort of a police force is it? It takes 20 minutes to get there after somebody, basically everybody saw this, the butchery, and it took 20 minutes for the police to arrive. Basically, of course, the problem is, of course, when you have somebody intent upon doing bodily harm, if you have somebody there who's armed, they can protect people. In fact, in the communities here in America where we have armed people, why, of course, we have very, very low rates of crime and violence. It's only in those areas where the outlaws, so the average individual, protecting people, that you do have major atrocities. If you have such an armed population, why? Because people are afraid to commit these atrocities because they never know when there may be somebody in the audience of the theater, in the school, yeah, or certainly on the sidewalk. Well, who has a weapon and will come after you? And the last thing you certainly want to do is have somebody shooting at you. So you're certainly not going to commit these atrocities. But to actually literally behead a British soldier, and it takes 20 minutes for the bobbies, the British police, to get there. What sort of a police system do they have in England?
Well, I think the question is wider than that, isn't it? There's closed circuit television camera, one of such a camera for every 14 people in London. The British people are the most closely supervised, shall we say, big brother society in the whole of the world. They've got 1% of all the world's CCTV cameras. 20% of all the world's CCTV cameras, for 1% of the total global population. And more or less that same picture of a developing, creeping big brother police state is present in every European country. You cannot step into the street or outside your home these days without somebody's going to start taking pictures of you. Illegal wiretapping and surveillance is applied in every member state of the European Union. So really, the idea of privacy has disappeared because of this menace within. And the Woolwich case is a very good example, because Woolwich is hardly, you know, a backwater, a little village somewhere. It's a whopping great, busy suburb of London, which happens to have a huge military barracks in it. Now, if there was ever a place that was going to be carefully supervised and protected, then it should be a barracks and its environs, the district around it. And it turned out this was the case, because a lot of these, a lot of the pictures, the most terrible pictures, were in fact captured by CCTV cameras. But on other occasions, when the atrocities have been performed in various countries, mysteriously, the closed-circuit television cameras are all switched off that day for maintenance, or someone has stolen the tapes, or whatever. So this whole rolling out vast paraphernalia of supervisory over-intelligence, in fact, is designed to snoop not on people who might commit the awful atrocity and others like it in Woolwich, but in fact, ordinary people going about their everyday lives. In Europe now, exactly the same as in America, by the way, there's no difference. The citizen, the innocent citizen, the private citizen, is now the suspect of the state. The state trusts nobody. It sees every citizen as against the state. And every time there is an event like Woolwich, or Boston, for example, then what do you get next? You immediately get a call for yet more surveillance, for censorship of the internet, or even closure of the internet. More and more restrictions on travel, which always occur whenever there's some incident involving aeroplanes or airports. Every time there is a new Gladio B-type strike, then the next reflex reaction of governments dream up more ways of controlling the ordinary, everyday citizen, exactly as George Orwell forecast in his famous book, 1984.
I think you're absolutely right. Of course, what nobody talks about anymore is that there was some sort of a drill going on in the morning of the Boston Marathon. There were all sorts of police there. There were certainly bomb-sniffing dogs.
Oh, yeah.
And basically, why would they have had a drill for a bombing? Is that they were almost anticipating it. If you've seen the pictures of the Boston Marathon, some fellow falls down in the street. I counted 8 policemen that you could see there, because they're all wearing yellow. 8 policemen with one fella falls down? Come on now, ladies and gentlemen. There are a couple of them in the distance, but there's 6 people right around him. 6 policemen, one fella falls down, trips and falls or something. There's something very strange that we've never been told the truth of that. But they want to use this to justify ever more government programs. There's a real threat, we're told. But there's some strange things about that, as with so many of the incidents happening throughout the world. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Our guest, Richard Cottrell. We're talking about Operation Gladio.
While a storm cloud Let's all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America. Beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above, from the mountains to the prairie to the ocean white with gold. God bless America, my home sweet.
Don't be late.
No.
White with gold. God bless America. My home.
Right, Pop?
Right, son.
Kind of makes you think of Blake, doesn't it? Makes you think of a lot of things. We're going to be in this yet, Mom.
Hi, Mom. Hello, darling.
New song?
Brand new, first time in the air.
Brand new, my eye. You know, I threw that song out of Yip Yip Yap Bang 22 years ago. Sounds better now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Richard Cottrell. And Richard, how can people get your book there on Operation Gladio?
Well, the big A is short on that, isn't it? The global bookernaut, in other words, Amazon, but also good shops like Barnes and Noble and folk like that. It's selling very well. It almost sold out, so rush while you can. There will be a second edition, which I'm working on at the moment, which is going to bring in Boston, for example, and Sandy Hook in the United States. Recent atrocities which have occurred all under the apparent brand name of Gladio B. Because this is a very difficult idea for people to grasp, I think, that terrorism can actually be commissioned and carried out by the state. But it is. And you have Gladio lookalike organizations, for example, operating in the former Soviet Union, in Russia. Much of the terror there is also synthetic and blamed on the Muslim phantom, Chechenians, etc., all of whom are thought to be about to bring down and imperil mighty and huge state. And this is always the thing to remember, isn't it? Now, I'm speaking to you in the United States, and I'm speaking from Europe. These are not little tiny countries that we live in. They're well organized. They have huge amounts of technology. Systems are entrenched and buried in our way of life. And yet we're supposed to believe that a few fanatics contain the capacity in order to destroy the entire system. And this is not true. There is such a thing as terrorism. But the people who perform those terrorist acts are isolated individuals. They have something slightly wrong upstairs. This is not a peril to the state. What has now become the problem is that the state is the peril to the citizen, and that is the situation which has occurred.
You know, basically, do the people in Europe understand that? Certainly here in America, there's a small group that can begin to see behind all of these so-called terrorist attacks. What about in Europe? Suddenly, do the people over there have more understanding of how these things work, or are they simply all wound up in this wonderful, affluent, materialist society we live in?
Yes, I'm afraid we are. I wouldn't want to glorify the idea that European citizens have woken up fully to the danger within represented by gladio tactics. For example, London has had its fair share of violence. The it's called 7/7 attacks, the apparent blowing up of an underground the underground railway system in London back in 2007. Caused a huge amount of damage, killed 59 people, injured 200 or 300 in appalling ways. And yes, of course, there were two strange characteristics like that. The closed-circuit television cameras weren't working that day because they were all for under repair or maintenance or whatever.
You say that television cameras were just, for some reason, weren't working on the day of that explosion in the subway?
Yeah, that's right. It's always that way. Just on that occasion, it was the same in Oslo during the murders attributed to Anders Breivik. The bombs first in Oslo and then the terrible slaughter on Utøya Island, not far from Oslo. Every time there are some running themes which come with this, the policemen who never turn up until it's too late. The policemen in Norway couldn't even find a helicopter in the entire country. To get to a small offshore island, actually only 25 minutes from Oslo itself, in order to save the people who were being slaughtered there. But there are always themes to this which begin to look like an identikit of synthetic terror, whichever way you look. But you asked a very specific question. Are we aware of it? Yes, we are. The word gladio is back in the headlines in a number of European countries as representing false flag, synthetic violence. There is a greater and more apparent willingness for people to appreciate that state terrorism exists because we've had it in the past. We have had terror gangs running around various countries. And so there is an understanding, a recognition of that what you are being told by your managers and supervisors may not be the entire truth. And that, I think, is the difference between Europe and the United States of America. You are new to domestic urban terrorism. It's been a feature of the European landscape, strategy of tension, as it's sometimes known, for quite a long time.
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest is Richard Cottrell. And what's the exact title of your book?
It's called Gladio, NATO's Dagger at the Heart of Europe.
NATO's dagger in the heart of your gladio. NATO's dagger.
Published by John Leonard, my excellent publisher at Progressive Press there in California.
And we've actually been in touch with Progressive Press. They were nice enough to give me your telephone number. We'll be back here in just a moment. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295.
Let us all be grateful for a land so fair as we raise our voices. from the mountain, through the prairie, through the ocean, wide with gold. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America.
Don't be late.
No.
White with gold. God bless America. My home.
Right, Pop? Right, son.
This is Dr. Stan, I guess is Richard Cottrell, and basically he's a prolific writer. His book on Gladio, NATO's Dagger in the Heart of Europe, I tell you, it certainly is going into the background of how governments use false flag operations. In other words, create an incident that rallies the people behind government to protect them from whatever it would be, the wicked communists, or from now it's the wicked terrorists. We have to be protected from those wicked terrorists, and yet you find it. Basically, these two fellows over in England who beheaded the British soldier, they've been watching him for 8 years. They've been watching him. They've been repeatedly warned about them. And yet they want to tell us they had no idea. And the same thing is true with these young men in the Boston Marathon. We find out the government's been covering up the fact that they've been watching these people. The mother said they were watching, they were following him, they were listening to all their telephone conversations. And yet, of course, the government said, "Why, we had no idea, you know." Basically, they don't tell the truth, do they, Richard?
Yes. I'm afraid this is the recurring and familiar pattern every time. But you just to develop the story, the aftermath of these events. Yesterday we had Sheila Rimington, who was the first and so far only woman to head MI5, the main domestic British snooping agency, said that people should start spying on their neighbours. It would be much better for the citizen to turn the United Kingdom into a Stasi state based on the old East German Democratic Republic than it would be to have other draconian restrictions. Now, this is another twist. This is another pulling of the psychological cords of fear, isn't it? The lady who lives next door, who might be a bit of a curtain twitcher, likes to know what the neighbors are doing, always peering at their business. She could now be the enemy within as well. She could now be an agent of the state who is popping her eyes on your everyday business. And this is another insidious twist of the knife of making every citizen a subject of suspicion of the state.
Well, here in the United States, anybody can go up in on the search engine and type in FBI informant system. I've forgotten this exact title for it. It slips my mind. But they have tens of thousands of people that FBI has actually recruited recruited to be spy on other Americans, and basically your best friend could do that. We have a little ministry here where we do talk radio. They've sent agents repeatedly to try to infiltrate my organization. I don't think that they have. I could be mistaken, but I don't think that they have. Certainly, but I can see so many other conservative and patriotic organizations that I have contact with, and I know they're infiltrated. I even know who the people are, but I can't prove it, but I've been at this game for 50 years, so I've got a pretty good sense of when people are flattering me, trying to tell me how smart I am. When somebody does that, I'm immediately suspicious of them under any circumstances. But basically, this is what's going on in the United States. But the average American doesn't understand the FBI has tens of thousands of informants out there, certainly watching, just as they have fusion centers, as they listen to every telephone conversation, read every email, read every fax, all in the name of protecting us from the terrorists. The trouble is, they were doing this long before we had the 9/11 attack and the Patriot Act. But now, of course, it's legal. Before that, it was illegal. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you have a question or comment, but this is such an important subject because Richard is certainly writing from the European point of view, where these things are really much more advanced over in Europe than they are here in the United States, would you say? Or?
Yes, definitely the case. It's a kind of sort of cultural gap, if you like, between the United States and Europe. We're very used to moving from one cultural, linguistic climate to another very quickly. For example, you can be in another country in Europe in half a day, usually, by air, or even because everybody travels by train in Europe, which is another phenomenon that we have here, especially high-speed trains. You could be somewhere else very quickly. So you become much more familiar with the general pattern, cultural pattern, the landscape of this teeming continent of ours with many languages. The United States is essentially still suffering from isolationism. It's as though, you know, Andrew Jackson never existed. There's an inwardness. I lived in the United States in Washington for nearly 4 years, so I think I speak with some knowledge of why the United States doesn't understand the world, yet at the same time wants to be a world power. And there's something dangerous in that, isn't there? Because if you want to be a world power, then you should know something about the world. But I used to find it astonishing how very little, in fact, the average American knows about anything which doesn't happen in the United States. I remember two famous stories. I said I lived in Belgium at that time, and somebody sitting at lunch with me said, "Did I speak Belgian?" And on another occasion, somebody said, well, where are you from? I said, Brussels. And they said, "Did you drive here?" This is the kind of insularity, I think, which in itself poses a great danger and a great risk for American citizens, because they simply don't have the full grasp of what is really happening in the world. If you pick up any newspaper, any country, any European country, then you're going to find that world news and news about other European countries is on the front page. And this is not the case in the United States of America. And this knowledge, information, cultural gap is a very, very real danger and peril to America itself.
Well, of course, here in America, we're so dependent upon television, and television so they can focus our attention on all sorts of unimportant things, you know. Basically, of course, one of the big stories we see repeated now today in the media is that two people had died in France of this new virus. Two people died in France of the new virus. We never talk about the 80 to 90,000, at least well over 80,000 people have died, unnecessarily men, women, and children there. And in Syria, well, we mentioned it occasionally, but we don't focus our attention on it. We focus our attention rather on the tragedy of one child being abducted or disappearing. And so they focus our attention on really minuscule stories, and they totally ignore major stories. A couple of 100,000 people die of starvation in Somalia. We don't even talk about that. I think that was in 2011. People are starving all over Africa today. We don't talk about that, but we talk about all sorts of mundane things, and about sports, and certainly about sexual escapades of some of our leaders. But when we really get to important things, you know, why, for instance, made such a fuss out of Monica Lewinsky. Whereas, of course, there were probably 40 or 50 people who tried to do something about the Clinton presidency, who were murdered, certainly. But we didn't talk about that. It was all about Monica Lewinsky. So you focus attention on a sexual... go right ahead.
Yeah. There's no question of it. But, see, I'm a journalist by profession. I've spent 58 years in this wonderful profession. And what that is now being used as is a giant sedative, a huge pill which is administered to the watchers and listeners every day in the form of the fashion celebrity trash, which is all forced down our throat. This is all part, really, part and parcel of an idea of sedating the citizen, of putting him to sleep, so that he's not going to ask questions about whether there really is any such thing as the Lord's Protection Army in Uganda, which recruits boy children, boy soldiers, who don't do horrible things. Whether that organization actually exists, I say it doesn't. But the whole point of the mass communication system, as Isaac Asimov warned us in his trilogy, The Foundation Trilogy, is simply to get us into a controllable segment of society, a mass surveillance society, which responds to the orders of our lords and masters above us. I am a great supporter of the free market system, which I think is the best form of society. And I'm absolutely convinced that this is what most people believe as well. But do we also believe that there really are organizations which want to overthrow global arrangements for trade, commerce, employment, imports and exports? Why are we being fed this nonsense? We're being fed this nonsense in order to turn us into a kind of rodent population.
Well, I certainly share with it. Didn't you write a book about 100 years of war or something of that?
No, that's not me.
That's not you.
That's William Engdahl, Mr. Engdahl, who's also published by John Lennon at Progressive Press.
That's why I recommend that book. Basically, Chris, yeah. I'd read about the 100 Years of War, and I thought that was your book. No, okay, fine, we'll have to get the other gentleman on. But basically, Chris, certainly most of the wars are contrived, and basically people go off and fight and bleed and suffer and die, and suddenly we find out that the people we were fighting now suddenly are our allies, and they who are our allies before are our enemies. And people scratch their head. They don't understand how this can happen. But, of course, it's simply because we're being constantly manipulated. Would you agree with that?
Yes. And Hitler and National Socialism were a classic example, weren't they? Because the rise of Hitler was funded by Wall Street. The United States of America used its money, like every other country, as a weapon if it had enough of it. And Hitler was good news for a while, you see, because he was going to be the bulwark against the Soviet takeover, against communism. And then Hitler went out of favor, so he had to be got rid of. And the new enemy, first the new ally is the Soviet Union, because this is a completely topsy-turvy world. And then, in turn, the Soviet Union becomes the replacement to the former vanished threat to world order and security. And this kind of roundabout switching of threats and fears is a continuous process. For example, one minute, Mr. Gaddafi is a villain. Then he becomes a friend of the West. Then he returns to being a foe. And then he's murdered. This is exactly the same sort of gyration which has been going on in our affairs, not only 100 years, but more or less permanently. The problem is that it's got to be extremely mechanized now and very well organized. And you've got all the, lowbrow television channels and newspapers supporting the parrot line that whatever comes from an official source is true. And people have stopped asking questions. When you stop asking questions, then your society is in peril.
Well, of course, I think our society is in peril. Fortunately, we do have an alternative of radio here in America and a small number of people. I shouldn't say, but they have an outreach, and I know we have an outreach, and our friends have an outreach. And then, of course, we have the Internet, and the Internet is really transforming access to information. And certainly, with the news articles, even the Internet now has the Kindle books, and books can be put up very cheaply there, and more people are getting dependent upon this sort of thing. And basically, they're reading the things. I mean, I personally appreciate having a hard copy book. But other people said they don't mind having a little Kindle pad, and they can sit there and they can actually read these things and enjoy it just as much as I would. And, of course, basically the advantage of Kindle is you can have all sorts of links that right there. And if you're reading about something and there's a reference to something, you can actually just push your finger down and you can suddenly see the original source material. It's amazing what is happening today. And I do believe there is a growing awareness, at least here in America. What about over in Europe? Do you think there's a growing awareness there? Are the people so decadent that they cannot see what's going on?
Yes. Definitely, there is a growing awareness, and it's exactly correct what you say about the growing access, so shall we say, liquid information, which is a phrase I coined to describe it, which means that the citizen has immediate access to sort of an electronic Alexandrian library of knowledge. You can actually find out anything on the net these days. But I enter this caveat. I live in what is, I would regard as a fairly sort of advanced society where knowledge is easily spread. But you'll find talking to people here that their first topic of conversation, even with all this paraphernalia, is football, maybe. Or it may be what they saw on the television last night, reality shows, Big Brother, the very well-named Big Brother celebrity shows. Trivia and trash still has much of the world in thrall. When you speak of access to Amazon's Kindle, I totally agree with you. I have another book there at the moment on a completely different subject called Doctor Who, which is about the destruction of the railways in the United Kingdom. And that's selling it extremely well. It would be difficult to market that with a mainstream publisher, but you do it yourself. So there is a way of getting your voice out of what you want to say. But the difficulty is that we are still hosepipe with celebrity mania, with Hollywood Oscars, with having to know every detail about major public figures, what their eating habits are, who their girlfriends are, where they go out for lunch or dinner. This kind of thing is still soaking society, and it's really a top-down, heavyweight pressure which can squeeze intelligence out of otherwise normal human beings. And I fear very much for that, about the Roman Games, the organization of spectacles, the Greeks and the Olympics, in order to distract the populace from wanting to overthrow the existing regime or change the state of order. And baseball, for example, fills that gap in the United States of America. Here, football, another hyperactive sport. We still have a problem in having so much information given to us, of sifting through it and finding the nuggets and the jewels away from the 99% of nonsense.
Well, all we can do is continue trying, and certainly I do believe that there's a growing awareness, certainly here in the United States. And I've seen some amazing polls suggesting that basically there certainly is. There was one recent poll, public policy poll of some sort, and basically they found that 28% of the people they polled really believe there is some sort of a secret group that control the world, and they really wanted to move it towards a new world order, or there was a specific reference. But what was so interesting, it was that 38% of the Republicans, about 20% of the Democrats, really believed there were secret forces out there working behind the scenes. Now, that is an amazing, amazing number. In other words, an amazing number of people would appear to be waking up. They may not understand what's going on, but this certainly goes along with things like a Gladio we're talking about tonight. Would you agree?
Yeah. Yes. And you make those remarks, even as the Bilderberg clan is gathering here in the benighted city of Watford, which is not far from London. And Bilderberg, of course, represents this physical class of super corporatism, which is a new kind of fascism. And that's another theme of my book, by the way, which is the resurgence of fascism everywhere in our society, neo-fascism. But Bilderberg, I think, is now, 5 years ago, you could stop 100 people who you would think were well-informed and they'd never heard of Bilderberg. That is not the case now. If you mention Bilderberg, you're likely to get a very, very high response. This is a kind of secret society of the super-rich, the uber-rich, who are organizing a system of world control. So there's a much, much wider perception than there was. I completely agree with you.
Well, I want to thank you so very much, Richard. It's been an enjoyable hour. I really appreciate you being with us. Once again, the book, the title of the book is
Gladio, NATO's Dagger at the Heart of Europe, available from Amazon and all good booksellers, published by John Leonard at Progressive Press, an excellent organization, right out there in the forefront of putting knowledge under people's nose, Progressive Press California.
God bless, and thanks very much.
Thank you, Doctor.
Bye-bye.
Far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above, from the mountains to the prairie to the ocean, white with hope.
Don't be late.
No.
White with gold. God bless America. My home.
Right, Pop?
Right, son.
This is Dr. Stan, and we do hope you enjoyed the conversation with Richard Cottrell, speaking from Europe, and basically, of course, is he talking about Operation Gladio, and how, of course, all of these incidents, or most of these incidents, are simply manipulated to rally the people behind the government to protect us from this evil force out there, whether it be the communists, or the Nazis, or the fascists, or now it's the terrorists. We have to worry about the terrorists, and basically, they're going to take away our freedom, and they're going to kill us, and so we have to give up our freedom, and it's all contrived, or almost all of it's all contrived. And basically, of course, they'd known about these boys over there. Suddenly, the Boston Marathon bombing, they were watching, they were tracking them. Why would they lie about it? Why did they have certainly a drill on that morning with bomb-sniffing dogs, and they never wanted to talk about that? or the fact if you look at the pictures there, the knapsacks that the boys were carrying, and suddenly they were both black knapsacks that contained bombs, but one of them, the younger boy, was carrying a white knapsack, and the other knapsack, if you look at it, no way could you get a pressure cooker in that. So what was this really all about? And if you haven't read my article on Jeff Bauman, you can see it up on the internet, Jeff Bauman. Just type in my name and Jeff Bauman, you'll get it. And how this young man could have had a well-heeled below-the-knee amputation with a piece of bone sticking out on the left side, below-the-knee amputation on that very morning, and 2 weeks later have two above-the-knee amputations. Something's wrong with the story. But of course, nobody wants to talk about that. When you do, you get death threats. If you didn't hear our interview with Stella, who is on the New Hampshire Temple, who's on the New Hampshire legislature, and when she dared to say, well, there's something wrong about the story, she got all sorts of death threats. And suddenly, this is the way things really work. And I got all sorts of criticism as well. But you can go up on the internet, pull down my article and read it and just ask. I don't know what happened. But I do know that I got a lot of questions. I finally did get hold of somebody back there at the rehab hospital. And the young man I talked to was obviously very, very nervous. And basically, he just said there was no way we could get in touch with Jeff Bauman. And I just thought I wanted to clarify a few issues. There's no way we can get hold of Jeff Bauman. But basically, I just want to find out, you know, I could feel much better if I knew that this story we've had is accurate. There's no way to get hold of him. The only person who knows anything about him is a reporter from the New York Times. He's working with a reporter from the New York Times. Well, ladies and gentlemen, New York Times is part of the Brotherhood of Darkness. It's part of the Operation Gladio. The New York Times is part of certainly what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness. If you haven't read my book, you need to. Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to question. You get it by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. I do need to mention that things have been a little tight recently. If you're in a position to help us financially, we'd love to hear from you. Want to advertise with us? Join the Radio Liberty family. Certainly, get our 4 CD set on the threat of an EMP attack, and you really need to get that, or the DVD, or the books on this, or the Congressional Commission report on the threat of an EMP attack, because I really believe it's not a matter of if, but when. And up to 90% of the American people could die. As of a week ago today in the Washington Post, Frank Gaffney's article, that's Washington Post a week ago today, Frank Gaffney's article on the danger of an EMP attack, and he quite openly says that suddenly Senator Graham, or pardon me, General Graham, had talked about the fact that 9 out of 10 Americans could die from an EMP attack very shortly thereafter. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. We do have the documentation for if we're talking about articles on last Monday, a week ago yesterday, in the Wall Street Journal, a week ago today in the Washington Post, and nobody's talking about it. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. If you can join the Radio Liberty family, we'd love to hear from you. Otherwise, please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow, at the same time, may the Lord be with you.
Let us swear let us all be grateful for a land so fair as we raise our voices in a solemn prayer. God bless America and that I love, stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains, through the prairies, through the old...
Theater Show. It is live. We are here on Monday, May 28th, or Tuesday, May 28th, 2013. Thank you so much for joining us. It is all about the good. That's right. The good that you are doing, the good that you are learning, the good that you are, the way you're treating your body. It's all about change, one step at a time, and I thank you and honor you for doing that. I had an amazing weekend, and I hope you did also. I hope you spend it in a way that you feel good about now. That's the best we can hope for, isn't it? That you did something honorable, that you really enjoyed. Well, guess what? I got me something I've been wanting for a long time, raw milk. That's right. I don't drink milk, but I wanted to get some raw milk, and I wanted to taste it. I've never in my lifetime tasted it, so I had an amazing experience. Talked to some incredible people, and I am so blessed for the experience, I have to tell you, of meeting these people. I'll tell you about what their